So what happens when God gives us a vision for a new year? Because one of the things we know is that his vision has the potential to change everything. And I mentioned to you many months ago, and of course had no idea that I would have the opportunity to participate in what this year represents, that this building was built in 1973, which means that was about 50 years ago, if I've got my math right. 50 years ago. And I would like to encourage all of us this morning to enjoy all the aspects of what a year of Jubilee is meant to be. Let's leverage the fact that God put in the hearts of some people to build this facility 50 years ago and had a vision for what God was going to do. And here we are. We get to be the ones to be part of that celebration. I'm ready for a celebration, everybody. I said I'm ready for a celebration, everybody. And so I want to take us back to a book of the Bible that some of you probably haven't read for about 50 years. Just kidding. It's just the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 25. And I want to read these verses from verse 8 to verse 22. That says, "You shall count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time of the 7 weeks of years shall give you 49 years. Then you shall sound the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the day of atonement, you shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all of its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you when each of you shall return to his property and each of you shall return to his clan. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from the undressed vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You may eat the produce of the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his property. And if you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not wrong one another. You shall pay your neighbor according to the number of years after the jubilee, and he shall sell to you according to the number of years for crops. If the years are many, you shall increase the price. And if the years are few, you shall reduce the price, for it's the number of crops that he is selling to you. You shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. Therefore, you shall do my statutes and keep my rules and perform them, and then you will dwell in the land securely. The land will yield its fruit, and you will eat it, your fill, and dwell in it securely. And if you say, 'What shall we eat in the 7th year, if we may not sow or gather in our crop?' I will command my blessing on you in the 6th year, so that you will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. When you sow in the 8th year, you will be eating some of the old crop. You shall eat the old until the 9th year, when its crop arrives." So what does all of this mean for us? Let me say some things about the meaning of Jubilee. The word Jubilee literally means ram's horn. It's the shofar that is sounded at the times of celebration of the people of Israel. It's defined as a sabbatical year of 7 cycles of 7 years or 49 years, and the 50th year was to be a year, a time of celebration and rejoicing for the Israelites. And I'm making a declaration today that the 50th year of this facility is going to be a time of celebration and rejoicing for Trinity Christian Chapel. Yeah. The ram's horn was blown on the 10th day of the 7th month to start the 50th year of universal redemption. And what I'm believing for everyone is that there is going to be universal redemption that begins to flow like a river of water flowing out of this building and out of this place into this community, so that we will declare at the end of this year testimony after testimony of God's goodness and God's salvation in the lives of people that many of us have been praying for a long, long time. Amen. And the year of Jubilee involved a year of release from indebtedness, obviously physically and materially, but spiritually, a release of all types of bondage. It's a time when all the prisoners and captives were set free. All the slaves were released. All debts were forgiven. All property was returned to its original owners. And in addition to all of that, all labor was to cease for 1 year, and those bound by labor contracts were released from them. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all going to take a nap. But what that means is we're going to lean into God, and we're going to rest in Him to be our source of supply. Amen. And one of the benefits of Jubilee was that both the land and the people were able to rest. One thing we're going to learn this year, everybody, is to learn how to abide in the vine, like Jesus taught us in John 15. It's important for us to remember and note that God owns everything, and anything He's given to us, our resources, our jobs, our retirement funds, all of it belongs to Him. And therefore, we as His people dedicate this year of Jubilee and rest to Him, acknowledging that God's the one that provides for our needs. So what can this year of Jubilee and rest, or leaning fully on Him, mean for us individually and as a church? Let me just unpack a few things from this passage. The first thing is, we celebrate liberty. Verse 10 says, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty," or proclaim throughout the land to all of its inhabitants, liberty. "And it shall be a jubilee for you." So we proclaim and we celebrate liberty. And this is a year in which we celebrate a release of bondage from the past. Hear me well. A release of bondage from the past. And the bondage of bad decisions. And the bondage imposed by the enemy. And what we release over Trinity Christian Chapel is a spirit of liberty from all of those things. Anybody up for that one?
Yes, sir.
The next thing is we re-encounter our identity and who we are. It's a problem for all of us because there are different times we forget who we are in Christ. We forget who we are as He saved us. We forget what it's like to live in the light. But in this year of Jubilee, what I'm praying for all of us is that we have this fresh encounter with our identity of who we are. Verse 13 says, "In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his property." What I'm asking for is that God will take you back time after time to the day that you gave your life to Christ, or you had those fresh encounters with Him with a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, and He brings you back to that place and He gets you reset and recentered and refocused on who you are in Christ. During Old Testament times, the owners of slaves were not allowed to go home, but during the year of Jubilee, they were allowed to go back to their homes, to their families and their possessions. And it was a time that the believers received every possession that God had promised. Do you have some things that God's promised you, you've been hanging on to for days, weeks, months, maybe even years? Maybe this year of Jubilee would be the time that God gives to you what you've been longing for a long, long time. He's promised healing and deliverance and prosperity. And the enemy of our soul has held us back for too long because he comes to rob and steal and destroy. But we're declaring the name of Jesus Christ over this year so that we might have life and have life more abundantly than we've ever experienced in our life. This is a time for us to re-encounter God's call upon our lives. And this is when we get back in our lane and we strengthen our commitment to His grace in our lives to be effective for the community. This is a time where all of us get into the lane of what God's called us to and the gifts that He's specifically given to each one of us. And this is the time that Trinity Christian Chapel becomes who Trinity Christian Chapel is supposed to be. We're not supposed to be, I can't think of all the names. You can think of all the names of all the other churches. Nelson has them all memorized. But we're not supposed to be those other churches. There is a lane that God has given to this church to be in, and that's the one that God is bringing us back to in this year of Jubilee. He has a purpose for this church, and He's going to reestablish what the purpose is. It's also a time where we welcome restoration of our families. Verse 10 says, "Each of you shall return to his clan." Now, That means that I'm responsible for myself. I take care of my response and I leave to God what he needs to do in me and with you. And as part of returning possessions, people were able to return to the family. Homes were restored during the Jubilee. Your family may be splintered. You may have children who have strayed away from God and are imprisoned by the evil one. But during a year of Jubilee, everyone returns to their clan. And this is a year where things are going to change. It's during this coming time of Jubilee that God's going to bring families back together supernaturally. We also benefit from a supernatural increase. God knows we need that this year. Obviously, not only just to meet the church budget, but to be overflowing with resources, financially, materially, and in strength. Anybody need more strength? We benefit from supernatural increase. Verse 12 says, "For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy to you. You may eat the produce or the increase of the field." Whether you know it or not, what God's been preparing for this year is there's more provision out there than you realize. Because it's supernatural provision. It's not natural provision. So we look at things with our natural eyes and we go, there's no way for this to happen. But we're not looking with natural eyes. We're looking with supernatural eyes and spiritual eyes. And then we begin to realize, oh, that's what he has in mind. Oh, he has that storehouse and that provision. I didn't know about that. Slave owners ate the finest from the field, the increase. Slaves ate the leftovers, but that's about to change. An increase of the fields refers to prosperity. It means you're going to get all of it. You're not just going to get the scraps. God wants to move supernaturally during this coming Jubilee season. And we experience freedom from oppression. Verse 14 says, "And if you make a sale to your neighbor to buy from your neighbor, you shall not wrong or oppress one another." That means even if we have something to say that we may think is right, if it brings oppression and bondage to another people, another person, we probably need to zip our lip and not say it. Because in this year of Jubilee, we're not going to bring oppression, we're going to bring freedom. Amen. That's our heart's desire. There will be a spirit of freedom and understanding in the way we handle our relationships with one another. And as we've begun, we will continue to keep short accounts, and we will continue to wave the banner of forgiveness over one another. And not only do we experience freedom from oppression, we depend upon supernatural protection. Verse 18 says, "Therefore, you shall not do my statutes and keep my rules and perform them, and then you will dwell in the land securely." Securely. This is about spiritual and financial protection. And God's going to protect our finances. He's going to continue to help us through a time where there's some obvious economic challenges in our world. During the recent months, the world has lost billions of dollars. The stock market has been chaotic. Some banks are on the edge of failure. I read, even in the stock market, I forget which one of the stockbrokers, they're getting ready to lay off 4,000 people sometime this month. Corporations that once seemed ironclad are on the verge of going bankrupt. People who were rich one day have discovered that all their money has vanished. Now, when you have billions and billions of dollars to start with, it doesn't look that way. But just, you know, look at Tesla. The numbers I read the other day, his profit margins have gone down 70%. There is something going on. But the good news is, in the year of Jubilee, God's people somehow come out of the fray because we experience supernatural protection. And believers who understand and act during this coming season of Jubilee will be protected supernaturally. And then, this is one of my favorites about this section of Scripture, because That is, we walk in increased anointing. Verse 21 says, I will command my blessing on you in the 6 years so that it will produce crops sufficient for 3 years. I thought, I'm grabbing that one right there, because 3 years, isn't that what we talked about in terms of my commitment to this period of not having transition, but a period of succession? So I'm asking God, help me to walk in increased anointing. Help you to walk in increased anointing. So these next 3 years could be the best 3 years in the history of Trinity Christian Chapel. Jesus quoted this prophecy in Isaiah, and I want to read it this morning. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, and give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Now, Jesus in Luke chapter 4, as the Gospel of Luke records it, verse 16, came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as was his custom, he came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it is written. And before I read it, I want to remind you of something Jesus said in John 14:12. He said, you will do greater things than I have done. So as I read this passage, I want to encourage you, just in your lap, turn your hands over as a posture of receiving, because this message of anointing is not just for Isaiah. This message of anointing is not just for Jesus. This message of anointing is for his people. And Jesus said, and I want you to make this your prayer this morning, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You are anointed ones to do his work in this year of Jubilee. As I get ready to finish up, and we get ready to receive communion together, I want to share a story with you. Many years ago, when I was first licensed with the denomination, the Assemblies of God, every year at their annual conference, there was a service where they would bring those men that were candidates to be ordained, moving from their licensed status to ordained status. And during that service, these men would come forward, and they'd fill across the church and at the altar of the church, and then different district leaders would come up behind the men as a choir sang this song. And every time I watched it, I would watch and sit there with tears in my eyes thinking, Lord, I can't wait till it's my turn. Now things changed, and I never did get ordained with the Assemblies of God. Ended up getting ordained with the Christian Missionary Alliance. But nevertheless, this story holds true today. As the men went forward, as the prayer was prayed, each of the district leaders came up behind each one of the men with a stole of some kind, like a choir stole of a robe, and put it over their shoulders as the choir was singing these words. It's an old song. Elijah was God's prophet. Elisha stood close by. And ere the prophet left him, he heard his servant cry, let thy mantle fall on me, Let thy mantle fall on me, a double portion of thy spirit, Lord. Let thy mantle fall on me. Because you see, Elijah was being ready to be translated into heaven because he's one of those characters in the Bible that never died. And as he was getting ready to leave this earth, he was handing off the baton to Elisha. And may God grant me the privilege, if I can do this, to be Elijah and hand the baton off to an Elisha for this church that would receive a double portion of anointing. Because Elijah was being translated into heaven, and before Elisha lost sight of him, he was crying out, Elijah, let me have a double portion of your mantle, the mantle that he had used to strike rivers, to bring healing, to make changes in nations and cities and all of those places. And he said, I don't just want part of it. I want a double anointing. And it goes on to say, then Elijah made the promise that if faithful he would be, his petition would be granted, and God's glory he would see. As Elijah rose to heaven in a chariot of fire, he did not forget his servant who expressed one strong desire. Let thy mantle fall on me. Let thy mantle fall on me, a double portion of thy spirit. Lord, let thy mantle fall on me. And may that be all of our prayer. And as we do that, we're able to rest in his provision. Because finally, the year of Jubilee was about resting in his provision and his promise to supply. Trinity, this is not a year of striving. It's a year of trusting. It's a year of leaning in. Because God is listening. And God is ready to pour out his spirit in greater measure than you ever imagined possible.